Well, good morning, everyone. And for those I haven't seen since 2020 began, happy, which is probably most of you, happy New Year, if it's not too late to say that. It would be helpful if you could turn to that first reading that we had from 1 Peter. And we're actually looking later on at just the first two verses of that reading, just the first two verses, 1 Peter chapter 1. I wonder if anyone knows what this Sunday is in the church year. Last Sunday was Epiphany, the wise men, if you were here. And so this Sunday, as it says in our newsletter, is the first Sunday after Epiphany. But it's also sometimes known as something else. And I wonder if anyone knows. Shout it out if you do. Septuagesca, it's easy for you to say. It may be, but the answer I was looking for was circumcision of Christ. No, although yes, Plough Sunday. I wasn't expecting any of you to get that, Plough Sunday. Traditionally, in rural communities, work in the fields after Christmas, after the Christmas break, didn't begin until Plough Monday, the day after today. The work on the land would start. And today, Plough Sunday, the parish ploughs would be decked up with ribbons and then brought or dragged into church to be blessed for the year ahead. It's actually a tradition that still continues in some parishes around the country with strong links to the land. I have no idea whether or not ploughs were ever brought into St. Nick's Church. It's very likely they weren't, as Newbury's always been a market town rather than a rural village. But this tradition of bringing things into church that we don't normally associate with church, things that we use out there in the world of work, is a good one. It reminds me, actually, if you were here, of the Sunday last September. It was the end of the summer holidays. It was the day before term began. And we asked the children to bring their book bags and their rucksacks to church. These things that are so important in the week at school that never normally come to church. And we had if you were here, a blessing of the book bags. If you remember, Caroline, our children's minister, went through, she held a book bag and one of the ones that the children had brought in and thought through over the year ahead all the different things that would come and go in and out of this book bag. Moldy bananas and reading slips and letters home and books and PE kit and so on. We blessed the book bags. It was powerful. And many people commented on it to me afterwards. Well, whether you knew it was Plough Sunday or not, and none of you knew apart from me, Plough Sunday is a good day to be beginning our new sermon series for this half term. It's a series called Frontline Sundays. We're using some materials from LICC, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Some of you will have come across LICC before. There's going to be accompanying study guides that some of the home groups are going to use if they want to. So if you're in a small group, then do talk to your leader. If you're not in a small group and would like to be, even just for this series, then do talk to Joy or to myself. This series, Frontline Sundays, is about what we do after we leave church on a Sunday. What we do Monday to Saturday, and for that matter, Sunday afternoon. What we do out there on the front line of life. The different places, the different people, different responsibilities. We all have different front lines. And what we do out there on the front line matters. wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are, it matters to God. Here is a picture of my dad. My dad is a farmer, if you can see it. As some of you know, he's a farm manager. He manages about 2,500 acres of land in the Cotswolds. And he knows about ploughs and soil and sheep and cattle. He sells his organic beef to Waitrose. And a few years ago, they put him on the front cover. It's an exciting moment for my family, of their monthly magazine. Just to be clear, it's actually not saying that my dad is a world leader in animal welfare. That is saying that Waitrose is, or they're claiming to be, although in my opinion, my dad's cows are very happy ones. In fact, they look very happy just behind him. My dad became a Christian in his mid-20s, in part through the witness of his boss, who was a Christian, the landowner that he worked for. He was wonderfully converted, filled with the Spirit, and began to live out an active, sincere, lively faith. But for about the first 30 years of my dad's Christian life, that's 30 years, no one really told him that his faith had anything to do with being a farmer. Or no one really helped him to work out the link between faith and farming, his front line. And then about 10 or 15 years ago, he met some Christians who helped him to make that link. Partly they were Christians with a passion for the environment. We thought earlier just about that in interviewing Suzanne. But also they were Christians who were just simply convinced that the whole of life matters to God. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are, why would God only be interested in part of our lives? Or just some of the things that we do? And that helped my dad, if you were here today, if you were to talk to him, that helped my dad to grow as a Christian farmer in ways that he never had before. The writer Eugene Peterson says this. One of the bad habits we pick up early in our lives is separating things and people into secular and sacred. We assume the secular is what we are more or less in charge of. Our jobs, our time, our entertainment, our government, our social relations. The sacred is what God is in charge of. Worship and the Bible, heaven and hell, church and prayers. We then contrive to set aside a sacred place for God. Designed, we say, to honor God, but really intended to keep God in his place, leaving us free to have the final say about everything else that goes on. So sometimes this separation, the secular and the sacred, what God cares about and what's up to me, is because of an unhelpful tendency in the church, or a lack of good teaching, and actually the church should repent of that. But sometimes, if we're honest, it's because it's much easier to keep God in his place. His areas, that the set times for God, and much harder to let him into the whole of our weeks, the whole of our lives. Sometimes we must repent for that. Our second reading this morning, just the first two verses of 1 Peter that we're focusing on, has two words which describe what we are as Christians that are very relevant to this theme. Our church Bibles is the old NIV version. I put the later 2011 version on the screen behind me. Peter has two words to describe Christians that are right at the beginning. We are elect and we are exiles. Both of these words have their roots deep in the Old Testament, the story of the Old Testament people of God. And Peter wants his readers, and he wants us, to see ourselves as part of that long story. And so he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. We are elect. That is, we are the chosen people of God. We have been called together and formed into a people. Later in his letter, chapter 2, Peter will elaborate. Chapter 2, verse 9, these well-known verses, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. In these opening verses, verses 1 and 2, he has some similarly powerful things to say. Verse 2, we have been chosen, set apart. In the story of the people of God, it's vital to remember that's not because we are so wonderful, such obvious choices. Not at all. God said to his people in the Old Testament, you were the least of all nations. There's nothing for us to boast about. This is all God's mercy. And God has set us apart, chosen us for his purposes. Verse 2, we've been sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus. We've been sprinkled with his blood, a sign of being the covenant people of God. We are elect, the people of God, because of his mercy, called together. Later in this service, as we come to communion, as we take communion, using different imagery, we'll say similar things. Joy will say, as we get towards the end of the communion liturgy, we break the bread, we are the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So firstly, we are elect. Secondly, we are exiles. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We may have been gathered together as God's people, but where we live our lives is as those who are scattered throughout the world. And as Peter uses the word exiles, so he again recalls the story of the Old Testament people of God who were taken into exile and they lived as strangers in a foreign land. And when that happened, at first they had hoped for a quick return. But the prophets told them that that first generation would not return. Instead, they would remain and they were to live out their lives there in distinctive ways to be a blessing. You may remember the words of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, where God says to the exiles, he says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Who are we as Christians? We are elect, God's people called together, the body of Christ. And we are exiles, scattered out into the world, called to live distinctive lives, sent out, as Jesus in our gospel reading breathed on his disciples, breathed his spirit upon them with these incredible words, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you out. And for us today, there is, if you like, a rhythm in our weeks of gathering and scattering. In our country, about 6% of the population are active Christians, defined by those who worship in church once a month or more. 6% gather together to worship Jesus. We're a minority. It's a tiny corner. And once a week we gather together to worship, to hear God's word, to encourage. Again, we meet through the week in small groups and other midweek meetings. But for the rest of the week, we are scattered out there in the world, out on our front lines. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, said Jesus. And it's out there that we make the difference, all the difference in the world. This year at St. Nick's, in each of the three terms, I don't know, everyone works in terms, but if you think of the spring and the summer and the autumn, we are going to focus on one of the three areas in our new vision. The three directions, if you remember, up and in and out. Our worship, our fellowship, and our mission. And we're starting with the end, with mission, our mission. And some of what we do as mission at St. Nick's happens when we are gathered together. Think of our Christmas services, wonderful missional opportunities as well as times of great worship. Think of, we're running our Alpha course this term. Think of Holiday Club or Hidden Treasures that's about to start this term. These are things that we do together in mission. But most mission happens out there, where we are scattered. It happens to be stuck out there on your own. Elect exiles. Your front line. Your mission field. So what about your front line? Where is it? What is it? What would you bring into church or drag into church on Plough Sunday for God to bless? Laptops, files, emails, classrooms, colleagues, meeting agendas, washing up, nappies, those you care for, your contract, your diary, your P45. As you leave today, we've got a small gift. The stewards will hand these out as you go out. It's a small drinks mat. And there are lots of them. Please take one. Please take it out to wherever you are scattered. And use it on your front line as a reminder of your calling to make all the difference in the world. As we finish, I'm going to play a short video clip, and then we'll finish with a final verse from the Bible. Thank you.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us. Scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
As we finish, I'm going to read a version of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's from the Message translation, if it can come up on the screen. I'm going to read it, and then we'll pause, and then we'll stand to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering.